It's that time of the year. Get to talk about the birth of Jesus and everybody's excited. They don't get all up in arms. Well, Ethan, I see my talk worked this morning. Look how close that is. Lose gracefully, win gracefully. It's all the same. Good to have all of you back this evening. Let's go to the book of Mark, chapter 3. This is the season where you can talk all about Jesus and the birth of Christ, and people are okay with it. We should be okay with it year-round, because Jesus is the reason all year long. Mark chapter number 3. Carrie, I'll take the $10 after church. Ethan's a good guy. He gave me a hard time when I was in the deer stand, though. Honey was texting me, "Can you see what's going on?" No, I left the house. That was 2 weeks ago when Gators was beating up on LSU. Philippians, where did I tell you? Mark. My soul. No, we're on way over here. Well, we're going to talk tonight a little bit about the beginning of the church, the Lord's church, when he started it in his earthly ministry. I know there's a thought that's run around our country and around the world that the church was started in the, on the day of Pentecost, but I do believe there's biblical evidence to the contrary, and we'll try to show you that tonight. And if you're not quite following me on what we're doing, and not seeing what I'm saying, just tell me after church and maybe we can spend some time afterwards. I think most of us will be okay with it as we see what the Bible says. It's not just my opinion. And this is not a new thought by no means that Jesus started his church in his earthly ministry. It's a biblical thought. It's a biblical doctrine. And so we want to be right biblically, you know, and so we're going to try to see that in the book of Mark, chapter number 3, and let's see, I think verse number 13 is where we'll start tonight. The Bible says in Mark 3:13, and he goeth up into a mountain, and called unto him whom he would. And they came unto him, and he ordained 12 that they should be with him, that he might send them forth to preach, and to have power to heal sicknesses, and to cast out devils. Verse 16, and Simon, he surnamed Peter, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, and he surnamed them Barjonas, Bonerges, which is the sons of thunder. Verse 18, and Andrew and Philip and Bartholomew and Matthew and Thomas and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus and Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him. And they went into an house, and the multitude coming together again, so that they could not so much as eat bread. I mean, it just filled the house up. They couldn't even have a meal together. Verse 21, and when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he is beside himself. Now, the place this took place is in a mountain. He's there, and he's gone aside. And, if you flip over to Luke chapter 6, you get a little bit more information in Luke chapter 6, verse 12. Luke 6 and verse 12. The Bible says in Luke 6, verse 12, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And then the verse 13 says, and when he it was a day, he called unto him his disciples. And of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. Now, you mark that there. There's a difference between disciples and apostles. But let's talk about this a little bit. Before he called all that, before Jesus himself made such a great decision, he went and spent all night in prayer. This was not just something light. And we as a church, there's times that we make decisions. For instance, there's going to come a time whenever they're going to four-lane Boggy Creek Road, they're going to take part of our property up front. We're going to lose those buildings over there on that side. What to do from that point? We don't just say, well, how about let's buy a baseball field? We need to spend time in prayer with what to do. You can't just like, wow, let's just look at there. They did this. So no, we need as a church to spend time in prayer, because in decisions that need to be made, that involve the entirety of the church, things have to be bathed in prayer. And this was a big decision. He's got these disciples. He's narrowed them down to 12. And in prayer, he calls out 12, which is amazing. The Lord, in prayer, all night, solitude, spent time with God, continued the whole night prayer, he allowed Judas to still be part of those 12. That's the sovereignty of God. You and I couldn't understand. If I knew, okay, I'm going to take 12 of you guys, you're going to be my best of the best. Well, Brother Bernie, 4 years, he's going to do me in. I said, well, I'm not picking Brother Bernie. I'm like, listen, that's just how we would be. But the Lord knew he needed a Judas to fulfill the cross. And he allowed Judas to be part of the 12, and he went out. He was sent out. You remember, and there's passage, two by two, he sent the disciples out. They were so excited. They came back in. They said, Lord, we've done great things. And he said, be thankful that your name's written down in heaven. And Judas stood there. I believe he said that with trying to convict Judas. Judas, I believe even after he betrayed Jesus, after he received the money, I believe that he had approached Jesus there on the cross and said, Lord, I am sorry. I wanted an earthly kingdom. I wanted a king that would run these Romans. I wanted somebody that would just get us back as a nation with power and a face on earth that people would listen to us. I'm sorry that I missed what you were doing. I believe the Lord would have forgave Judas. You really believe? I do. He forgave that thief on the cross. And the correlating passage, if you study that, the thief on the cross was not always repentant in the beginning. He was a little bit perturbed himself. Then he realized, came to himself, I'm getting what I rightly deserve. This man is just. And he asked for forgiveness. Now, he never said, you can't find in the scripture, Lord, I'm sorry for this and will you forgive me? But his actions. Repentance is actions, dear friends. So many times we tell them, I'm sorry, but our actions never change. We just keep, I'm sorry, and we keep, that's not repentance. That thief on the cross had godly repentance. And Jesus said to him, today thou shalt be repaired. I am telling you, dear friend, I believe with all my heart that, I believe that centurion down there on the ground, when he saw all things going on, and he was in charge of everything that took place in Lord Jesus Christ, I believe he may have a testimony of salvation. He said, surely this is the Son of God. I believe he recognized him as the Messiah. Is that salvation? Well, the Ethiopian eunuch was right down the road in his chariot. Philip joined him. He said, here's water. Go ahead and hear me. He said, if you believe with all thy heart. And he said, I believe that he is the Son of God. This is a serious thing. And the Lord spent night after night, that whole night praying. And in his sovereignty, he called. Look what it says back in verse number 13. Look what it says in verse 13 there. He goeth up into a mountain. We know in Luke he spent all night praying. And he calleth unto him who he would. Now listen to me. Parents, please listen to me. It would not thrill me more for God to reach down into one of your families and shake one of the hearts of these young men sitting under the preaching or here at Lock Haven Baptist and call them to preach and just call their heart. And God called them out. But don't you for one moment push them into it. Don't you for one moment you push them and say, hey, you know, preacher said he needs some young preachers, and so you go be a preacher. He called whom he would. He didn't need help from their parents. He didn't need help from the grandparents. He needed people that would pray for their kids. Now listen, get on your knees and get before God. You pray and say, God, here, I've got a daughter. Would you allow her, if it be thy will, to marry into a missionary family, an evangelist family, or a preacher family? But God, if she marries a construction worker or a dump truck driver, God, let her be as godly as if she was the pastor's wife. God needs people in every business. And God calls whom he will. And that's what he did right here. Very plainly, verse 13 says, and he goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would. And guess what happened? And they came unto him. Listen, the work of the Lord is it is exactly that. He that desires the office of bishop desires a good work. I'll be honest with you, dear friend. When I was in the country of Greece, if I had not known in my heart that God had put me into ministry to work and labor as a missionary in Greece, there was time after time that we had struggles and difficulties. I just picked my family up and left, but I knew God had sent me there. There's something knowing when God's put you there. And listen, I'll tell you something. When you get a phone call at 3 o'clock in the morning and somebody needs you, they need help, and listen, if I didn't know God needed me, I had put me into the position I am now as pastor, God had not connected our hearts together as Lock Haven Baptist Church and me as their pastor, there's times that I just said, forget this. I'll go play golf. I'll go shoot guns. I'll go fishing somewhere. But it takes knowing God has called to keep you where you're at. Because if you look at it as a profession or just a job, I believe that that's a lot of the reason we have a lot of our young pastors getting out of the ministry real early. They realize that it's a job. Man, I can go out into the workforce and I don't have to deal with folks. I can just deal with my boss. I can work as a solo. I can be self-employed. It's just me. One thing about the ministry, and if it wasn't for people, there would be no ministry. And sometimes working with people can become a little difficult. But when God's put you there, and God's called you, and God's put, listen, you just say, Lord, these are the sheep of your pasture. I am feeble. I lack wisdom. Give me. I caught myself about 4 months ago, Brother Jimmy, asking God this. I said, God, would you just lend me a little bit of wisdom? Sister Barbara, that it popped in my mind, if something's lent to you, you have to give it back. And that's not what the Scripture says. God giveth, and he says liberally. And I had to repent of a prayer. I don't know if you ever done that. I mean, it wasn't like I was off wandering around sinning or something, but Lord, I have allowed my mind to become feeble, thinking that you want to lend me wisdom when you said you'd give wisdom. And Lord, I said, Lord, give me the wisdom I need to pastor Lock Haven Baptist Church, because I need it. And just like when he called these disciples, he called whom he would, and the Bible is, and it's an effectual call. It's a working within. And they came. And they came, and God used them. And he had a purpose for their call. It wasn't just say, hey, come join my band. Come and be part of the bandwagon. He had a purpose there. The Bible says in verse 14 that he ordained 12. And over in Luke it said he ordained the 12 and he named them apostles. Now would you hold your place there, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is where I believe we begin to get biblical reasoning and teaching that the earthly ministry of the Lord was started, the church was started in his earthly ministry, not at the day of Pentecost. I believe the day of Pentecost was a great event. 3,000 people get saved, the Apostle Peter preaches, and they hear every man in his own language what Peter is saying, and they get saved. What a great miracle. Great miracle. But I do not believe that the church was started on the day of Pentecost. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse number 28. And God has set some in the church. First what? Apostles. When did he call out the apostles? In his earthly ministry. In Luke, we read it, Luke chapter 6, I believe it's verse 13. We read it, right? He called out and he ordained. Let's read Luke 6 again. Go back to Luke 6. He said first in the church. First apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers. He goes on to name them. But first he said apostles. Go back to Luke 6. And let's see what the Bible says. Verse 13. And when it was day, he called unto his disciples. And of them, there was more than these. He called his disciples, that's plural. And of them, he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. He said first in the church, apostles. And also, we have two ordinances of the local church. There's baptism and there's the Lord's Supper. Both of those were instituted and started before the day of Pentecost. Amen? Both their church ordinances, and both baptism and the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper brought his apostles apart up in the upper room, and he instituted the Lord's Supper. And in 1 Corinthians, Paul said, as we remember as the Lord on that night, and he taught the church at Corinth how to partake of the Lord's Supper. So you have first, the apostles sit in the church. You have baptism before the day of Pentecost. You have the Lord's Supper before the day of Pentecost. In Matthew chapter 18, you have church discipline before the day of Pentecost. So with all of these things, that's why I believe, and that's why our church holds fast to the doctrine and teaching that the church was started before the day of Pentecost. In Acts chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1. This is before the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost begins later on Acts chapter 1, chapter 2 goes through there. But in Acts chapter number 1. We're talking about church doctrine tonight and the teaching of a church. Now listen, we're not fixing to argue and fight and fuss with you if you believe the church started on the day of Pentecost. I'm just trying to show you why we believe as a church, why we biblically stand on this position. And that's the reason, because of Scripture. But in Acts chapter number 1, verse 15, and in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. You remember Jesus called, Luke 6, called his disciples, and there were more. And out of those disciples, he named 12. And right here, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number and names together were about 120. They had a church roll already before there was the day of Pentecost. They had a church roll. So you have Jesus stating, said, upon this rock I will build my church. Matthew chapter number 16. I'll build my church. And the fact was that he was the Son of God. That was the reason behind that. So let's keep on reading in verse number 16 of Acts chapter 1. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. There's Judas, the one who betrayed him. Now we know that in the sequence of story, Judas did not find a place of repentance. He went out and hanged himself and threw the money back down. And so Judas is dead. Now there's 12 apostles, and Jesus had called out 12, and so they're fixing to replace Judas. Verse 17, for he was numbered with us, and had obtained part in this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, so much as the field is called in the proper tongue, the Chalamai, that is to say, the field of blood. Verse 20. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. All the way back in the book of Psalms is prophesied about Judas and what he would do. And about this very business meeting that this church was fixing to have was prophesied in the book of Psalms. Well, prophecy is a good thing, and now it's being fulfilled here. Verse number 20. Wherefore, of these men which have company with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John. Okay, baptism is a church ordinance. And it's stated there, from the baptism of John, unto the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be witness with us of his resurrection. Remember Luke 6, verse 12? Jesus called out the disciples, he ordained them, and called them apostles, he named them. So now they're replaced. There must be another ordained. Here, verse 23, and they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabas, who was surnamed Justice, and Matthias, and they prayed. Wait a minute, what did Jesus do all night long? He prayed. He prayed and spent time in prayer. So the church prayed, and they said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether these two thou hast chosen, that that he may take part in the ministry and what? Apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, and he might go to his own place. In verse 26, and they gave forth their lots. The church voted, and the lot fell upon Matthias. He was numbered with the 11 apostles. 1 Corinthians 12, verse number 28, and he had set some in the church first apostles before the day of Pentecost. Now we have the 12th one replaced. So that Bible study there, that little bitty, synopsis of when the church was started, why we believe that is Lock Haven Baptist Church, we have biblical scripture that leads us and points us that way. And then chapter 2 of Acts, it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. So now in chapter 2, you have the day of Pentecost, but you already have the church in place, fully set in order. God's a God of order. He doesn't do things out of order. And you say, Pastor, you're nickel and diming us and mincing words and splitting hairs. Who cares if the church was started on the day of Pentecost or who started on the Lord's, if it was started in the earthly ministry? I guess we should care if the Bible says, upon this rock, Jesus said, I'll build my church. We care because it's scriptural to care. That's why. You know, a lot of folks that come from churches that never take the time to even spend time, they just say, it's our day of Pentecost. Why? Because somebody told them that. Well, I challenge you on your own time, because I don't have time to go through. The day of Pentecost started, verse 1 of chapter 2, and I challenge you to go through there on your own time and study and see if you can find any place that it says that the church was started. Doesn't say it. So it's important that we know where the church started, who started, because Jesus Christ is the head of the church. That's where the authority lays. Amen. We're his body. He's the head. He oversees. That's why, as the pastor, I'm the under shepherd. I'm not the head of the church. I'm the under shepherd. I'm lent authority. I can be removed, and it's very plain in Revelation. I'll remove the candlestick from the midst. So it's very plain there. So I can be taken away. Now it should. Let's stop right now and get this clear. It must be a serious thing to even consider removing the pastor that you've called. Not because I'm the pastor. I would say this at any church. Because when the Lord sent the apostles, he prayed when the church replaced, they prayed. Acts 13, when the church laid hands upon Paul and Barnabas, the Bible says they prayed. It's a serious thing. Is there times that pastors need to be removed? Yes, there is. I mean, to be honest, sometimes they get out of hand. They get off into sin. They blemish their qualifications and things of that nature. And they have to be. But not just because we're just tired. I know a couple of churches right now, they change a pastor every 2 years, whether they need to or not. And they wonder why they have no unity. No unity. So we have the calling of the apostles. He ordains the 12 apostles. They came out with him. And this is funny. The church, listen, the church would carry out the work of the Lord in the Heavenly Father's work. And they would continue. They were commissioned to go out, spread the gospel, preach the word, and to see people saved. And Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, they were to be a witness in every place. And the church of Jerusalem refused till God brought a persecution and scattered them abroad. So you have these people that was called disciples. Listen, disciples means he's a learner or a pupil or a follower. Apostle means a messenger or one sent forth with orders. And they had orders given to them by the Lord Jesus Christ. And every last one of them was saved except Judas. Isn't it amazing that God would even use a lost person? But he put every chance before Judas to get saved. Matter of fact, when Judas betrayed the Lord, he kissed the door of heaven. Isn't that amazing? And at that point, Jesus knew. He already knew. Remember up in the upper room, he told Judas, go do what thou doest quickly. When Judas showed back up, I'm going to be honest with you, he could have just had him smoked. Oh, here comes that old betrayer. Hey, you legion of angels, come on down here and chop him up. He let him come. He let him come closer, so close that he would kiss him on the cheek. He gave Judas every opportunity. I'll tell you tonight, your friend, if you're lost tonight, he gives you every opportunity. This here thing that how could a loving God send somebody to hell? Oh, it's not a loving God to send somebody to hell. He's done everything in his possible to get you to see that you need a Savior. And he has provided that Savior. There's a problem. There's a problem here, Mark. This is amazing. He calls out the apostles, give them all labeled, named, and calls them by name. And you know, and they're from diverse backgrounds. I mean, if you think about it, if you go back and study each apostle, I don't have time to do it tonight, but I mean, you got from tax collector to fishermen. You know, all in between, all kind of various backgrounds there in Mark chapter number 3. But the last two verses that we read tonight are kind of amazing to me. Mark chapter number 3. You run into this here crowd. I mean, they see what's going on. He's called out the 12 in verse number 20. And the multitude cometh together. He's now in a house. And the multitude cometh together again so that they could not so much as eat bread. I mean, it was such a crowd that came that there was no place for even eating to go on and take place. I mean, they just wanted to be around. I don't know if they was like this. You know, call me. Jesus, call me. Let me be part of this group. Lord, I don't know if they felt like they were going to be left out or something of that matter. Listen, there is no waiting line for the Lord. Just because he named the 12 apostles does not mean he doesn't use other people. You remember after the resurrection that he rose up from the grave, he was walking down the road with two guys, two disciples, and they said, don't you know what happened? You know, and went all the way back with them, and they began to muse the scripture with them, and then, you know, broke the bread, and their eyes was open, and he left them. He used them. They were never apostles. See, this was just an office that was set forth at a time, used for a time, and used for a purpose that no longer, by the way, exists. Oh, I know that one may have got somebody alarmed, but it does not exist anymore. 12 apostles. He sent them first in the church, and they do not exist anymore. Verse 21. This is funny. Maybe you won't find it funny, but you know, I'm kind of a crazy person anyway. last night, I tell you this thing here before I get out of here, get tired. Before I hit this, yeah, I'm gonna tell you this first. My wife and I went hunting yesterday. Got up in the deer stands, was up in the tree, sitting there. We came down. I was carrying both climbers. She had the backpack and the gun, and she was walking out there. And I'm walking along, and you know, I got one on my back and one on my arm, and there's some limbs there in front of me, and I keep trying to get my leg up, and I can't figure out why I can't get my leg up. It's because I was carrying the deer stand on this side. So I'm trying to get it up, and I can't get up, so I'm going to force it up, and I fell flat on my face. See, they're laughing, honey. I told you it's okay, you can laugh. She didn't laugh. Did not laugh. I know she wanted to laugh after I was okay. I told her when I stood up, I was okay. I mean, I skinned my knee pretty bad. I told her, you can laugh. It's okay. Because I know inside she was laughing. I know. So that was funny to me that I failed. I remember it was dark, legs skinned up. It was funny. This scripture is funny to me. Verse 21 is funny. Maybe it's because I'm a little bit off, you know, sideways a little bit, but verse 20. And when his friends, listen to this, when his friends heard it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he is beside himself. My boy. His friend, you only called these 12. Now his friends are upset. And they're bothered. And Jesus is beside himself. That's the kind of friends I got. I get friends who think I'm beside myself. But that is funny to me. How in the world? Here he is. He's called out 12 men to do a tremendous job. They've got a tremendous office. And they're gathered at the house. So many they can't eat. Now his friends. Let me tell you something. Sometimes friends will misunderstand you. I believe the whole thing is there. They misunderstood what was going on. They thought they'd been left out. There is no stepchildren in the Lord's work. Just because you're not the song leader, the pastor, the deacon, or Sunday school teacher, or you're not on, you know, you're not in the choir, it does not mean you're unimportant to God. Don't misunderstand your friends. There is no friend that's sticking closer than a brother outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even you and I sometimes will get crossways with friends. But the Lord and his friends misunderstood what he was doing. It's not the only time. Remember Peter? Peter rebuked the Lord. He misunderstood what the Lord was doing. Sometimes you're going to be misunderstood. And on the flip side, don't get upset with your friends when they misunderstand you. Okay? Friendships are hard to come by. Good ones, anyway. And in the house and the family of the Lord, we need to be close as we possibly can. Matter of fact, the Bible says we're more than friends. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. So if you do feel misunderstood, be mature, cool off a little bit, talk to the person, and get the misunderstanding out of the way. Because we need unity. We need one accord. We need like-mindedness so that we can strive together as the Lord's workers here at Lock Haven Baptist Church. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for this study in the book of Mark. Lord, I know it to some may have seemed insignificant, and some it may be refreshing, and some it may have been enlightening. But God, I pray that as a church, everything that we teach and believe, we would have scripture for it. And Lord, we would just settle it in our heart that if the Bible says it, even if I don't fully understand it at this moment, I'm going to, by faith, study it out, ask the Holy Spirit of God to teach me and clear it up in my heart and mind so that I can stand firm on biblical doctrines. God, we need a people that is biblically hungry and biblically sound. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.